comes in and say, you come, sign this. Remember the conflict they had in Washington when Zelensky went there? And,
of office.
And then, so there is this agreement for you to sign. They had already prepared an agreement for him to endorse it. Okay. Then the Europeans flew in. They said, by the way, what is this you are signing? We don't know. And Trump did speak well about it. So, Africa as a continent, and more particularly Uganda, we now need to be a little bit more intelligent and say, okay, once we get involved in this, what is our end game? What is our end game? If we just move in without thinking it twice, I can tell you we'll be sucked in something which is going to be disastrous to our own country.
Brilliant. This is a good point for us to come to you, and I did it intentionally to end here. But also for you to give us your final thoughts on this show.
Tabaro has given the dynamics of the Americans. You know, when we were in Rwanda, as you know, for 4 years, in that war, at the conclusion of that war that liberated Rwanda, the entire army of the government that had collapsed went to DRC, the genocide group. And at that time we said, the French who had deployed there said disarm. That is the French then put an operation called
Turguan,
and refused to disarm the people who were running away from Rwanda. And that is the legitimate interest Rwanda has today, will have tomorrow, which they have continued to waive for their justification to be in DRC, because the other group is still active.
But what of the Rwanda-speaking citizen in DRC?
No, but that will be the job of the Rwanda government to fight for the other citizens. It should be the other citizens to fight for themselves. Now, Rwanda got sacked, and you remember we were accused. I think we will have a bill on our head.
We've been paying.
Uganda withdrew, and I think we are no longer being as accused as previously of getting involved in unauthorized exploitation of Congo's.
There is an authorized one.
It is authorized. This time it's authorized.
If I was that side, I would say unauthorized by who?
No, this time it's willing buyer, willing seller.
Now we have agreements, we have some MOUs, we have agreements with the government. And that's partly the reason you see our trade with the DRC is almost
over 1 billion.
Yeah.
So it's good business.
It's good business. And
it's not exploitation, it's business.
Including us doing transport infrastructure there, because we think it can. Now, Rwanda certainly is exploiting, going through the other dubious means, because they say if we can occupy a place, and but denies. They are doing what we call hiding in plain sight. you hide, but people are seeing you. and for you, you think people don't see you.
Are you sure not speaking Chapadola?
hiding in plain sight.
I don't.
That's the English. That's an English expression, actually. Now, the other day, I watched His Excellency Kagame saying that we have chosen as Africans to kneel. And I agree with him. We have chosen to kneel. The plight of Africa is because the leaders have chosen to kneel even where they shouldn't be kneeling. And saying, he said, I will not kneel. You can bring guns, weapons, and shoot me dead, but I will not kneel. Unfortunately for him, and I think to some extent, President Museveni, they have failed, although they have lived in the government for long. In my view, they have failed to build a convergence that African leaders, particularly the president, need to speak one language. You have heard the president here is saying, "Don't Africa, don't sell your minerals in raw form. next door in the Congo, what is Tshisekedi doing? He's giving the whole mine, so he doesn't even know what is
the whole country.
The whole country. What's happening?
They have sold even the not yet born minerals.
You know, so,
only 60-40%.
I think Africa is on path of futility, except if we can do something very, very strange and drastic. And I think we are on path of futility. This campaign of the president saying we need to build strategic security. No African leader, not many, are believing that strategic security is what we need to have in order to survive. I think there is a sense in which I see quite often most of the African leaders are petty-minded. If you ask that, I don't think he even understands why his country is the way it is. But unfortunately, he's the leader by some circumstances. And if you go around the Africa, we have many leaders of that type. And therefore, it is unlikely that Africa can get out of this quagmire, where just because you see somebody with a brown face, you automatically you believe he's superior. He's superior in intellect, inspire in knowledge, and so on and so forth. We don't seem to think, to see, that actually we can come from relative weakness to relative strength. How to deal with these ever-changing dynamics of the world. We don't.
You know,
and you remember, when at the start of the Ukraine war, when the president here says, "But why are you crying of wheat when you can actually eat millet, you can eat sorghum, you can eat cassava." Many people didn't see that actually you have so many things in Africa that you can replace wheat with. As basic as that.
But I want to put Robert here on task. It goes back all our time when we went to school.
More than 40 years ago.
Yes. There was a certain section of at the university. You know, when you'd read the Mamdani, the entire Mawazo, they were so deliberate in the way they were training students, such that you produce leaders who understand this continent better and so on. And I can tell you, I am hugely disappointed.
Can you point one in any of these universities who's driving
certain thought, you know,
I didn't know dislikes me this much. I am trying to drive the narrative.
No, you see,
which one?
Technology.
Let me tell you, even the writing, it's not even the writing. Just look at those guys, the books they wrote and so on.
Abdu, you're making an excellent point. I am going to tell you, I'm going to give you the correct diagnosis of the air on why we are where we are and what personally I am doing.
No, I'm talking about where we are.
Where we are. No. I'm part of the solution.
I want to tell you, by the way,
you are part
of the problem.
No. The lecturers
in that place, for all intents and purposes, are under strict. It's almost like a secondary school.
It's run by it's not a secondary school.
Gentlemen,
is run by a Soviet-trained.
To answer your question, Abdu, I will have
and
you know.
And that's where the problem is.
Let me answer your question on a personal basis. My doctoral thesis answers a very simple question related to what you were discussing, O.O. and Edgar, about how should we design a fiscal regime for natural resources in Uganda? Because I can tell you, I have answered the question, when first oil flows, the fiscal regime is going to change. And the starting point is strategic choices and how we reposition for that. So the work is coming. But this is a good place for us to stop. We are out of time, Edgar.
The African is the author, in major part the author of their own misery.
That is a very good place for us to stop. I want to just thank everyone. Thank you, O.O. Thank you, Edgar. Abdu, thank you for your thoughts on the gang. Thank you, Derek. Thank you, John. Thank you, Lydia. Happy Women's Day to our ladies, all the women in our lives, past and present. You should have, but we are out of time. Lydia. We want to thank Star Cafe for giving us a wonderful hosting.